Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Adam Ray. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Brand new episode today. Another week. Another week in new America. Jesus Christ. So many crazy videos and stories and conspiracy theories. People are just not stopping with this shit. And I don't think they will for a while. But it has provided some material. I'm starting to dive into the caves of Trump to try to find some funny. You have to. You know, it's one of those things that's it's on people's minds. And if you can, soften the blow a little bit, that is our job as comedians. So I want to thank again the staff and everyone at the Tempe Improv, all the fans that came out, so many pod fans, Corolla fans, just really appreciate New Kids on the Block fans. So many blockheads from the crews I met came to my shows in Tempe, and you guys were amazing. I wish I could remember all your names that I met of people to have so many fans of the week and get out some free merch. But if you're at my show in Tempe and you came up to me afterwards, shoot me a message at aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com and I'll send you some merch because you guys were the shit. Those shows were incredible. When I do a special, I might do it there. I love that club so much. And Avery Pearson and I are really locking in with our music stuff and building something pretty special. So another great weekend at Sacramento at the Punchline this past weekend. And man, it's just on a nice little roll. Today's episode, speaking of a nice little roll, is a former ALN guest. He is returning to talk about his new special on CISO, Negative Reinforcement. He's one of the best comics working today. He's just got one of the best, not only voices to listen to, but comedic perspectives. He's hilarious. He's edgy. He's in your face, but he's kind. He's got kind Jewish eyes. I'm talking about Mo Mandel, baby. Mo Mandel returns, and man, if you want a just straight up funny ass episode with a lot of laughs, we kept it light. From talking about his new special, Negative Reinforcement on CISO, to why he stopped drinking, to getting on Match.com, which is always fun to hear a young comic's perspective on dating and especially on the websites. You know, Brad met his fiance on a website, and I have yet to do the website stuff. Maybe at some point. Who knows? Maybe I'll do J-Date or Plenty of Fish. Fuck it, I don't know. I don't know if I can have that be my story, though. We met on Plenty of Fish. Oh, cool. What? We also get into, Mo's take on Trump America, which it's always interesting to hear every comic's take on that. It's a lot of fun from top to bottom. You guys are going to enjoy the hell out of this one. So follow Mo on Twitter and tweet at him. Tell him how much you love the episode at Mo Mandel. I'm at Adam Ray Comedy, at Funny Brad, at ALN Podcast, Adam Ray 33 on Instagram, Brad Williams Comic on Instagram, at ALN Podcast on Instagram. Storymerchandise.com for all your ALN merch, hat, shirts, mugs, posters. The holidays are coming up. Go to Storymerchandise.com and get some ALN merch and send it to your family and friends. Come on, what great gifts. The Titanic shirt, the mug, the posters. Get that shit. Make your family's day. Get them into the pod and tell one person. Tell one person before the holidays about the ALN podcast, and we will love you forever. A lot of tour dates coming up. I am not on the road until December 23rd when I headline the Columbia City Theater in Seattle, Washington. My first hometown show in quite a while, and I'm very pumped about it. The Columbia City Theater, December 23rd, 7 p.m. Get your tickets at AdamRayTV.com. Bring in Avery Pearson. Gonna do the music. Got some surprises planned. Some hometown heroes coming through. It's gonna be a lot of fun. 7 p.m. Columbia City Theater, December 23rd. Get your tickets at AdamRayTV.com. And then, of course, I'll be in Vegas over New Year's at the Tropicana in Las Vegas, Nevada, headlining the Laugh Factory at the Tropicana December 26th through January 2nd. Get your tickets at AdamRayTV.com. Brad Williams will be at he's going to be in Corpus Christi this weekend at the Mesquite Street Comedy Club. Yeah, baby. It rhymes. That's why he's playing it. December 9th and 10th. Get your tickets, I think, at BradWilliamsComedy.com. So many great episodes coming up. The Neil Patrick Harris episode is finally dropping next Monday. So make sure you are subscribed. Tell your friends to subscribe so they can get that episode. Neil Patrick Harris, wow. I'm going to get featured on iTunes, too, so I'm very pumped about that. Next Monday, December 12th. So get ready, Neil Patrick Harris. A handful of other great eps on the way before the holidays. And then we're going to do our best of ALNs again. Going to have a two-part best of over the holidays to recap what a fucking phenomenal year of interviews we had, from Dave Attell to Nick Swartzen to Jason Derulo to Paul Feig to Melissa McCarthy to the Goo Goo Dolls to fucking Brent Morin to fucking Susan Sarandon. It's been quite a year. So we're going to recap those with the best of one and two. And I can't wait to get those out. So now that we got the tour dates out of the way, those are the Twitter handles. That's the merch info. Neil Patrick Harris episode drops next Monday. Make sure you subscribe so you can get it. But now sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with the very, very funny Mo Mandel.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. No podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
See, that's why you're a Jew who has Christmas lights on. If you were a real Jew, you would not have Christmas lights and you would not know how to work technology.
How dare you?
Is that a Jewish stereotype?
Just being bad at stuff? Like that hands-on stuff?
I thought Jews are pretty good at technology.
No.
No.
Where did you get that crazy stereotype?
We
control the banks through controlling the labor force that physically controls the
banks. They just own the technology.
Yeah, I don't even know if we do that. I don't know. It's weird to be like a Jew to then claim that stereotype, but then also live in an apartment and not be rich. You know what I mean? Because then you're kind of like,
and you're like, well, you're like
the black, you're like the black dude who's like, look, we don't all have big dicks, guys. All right, that's a racist stereotype.
Some of us have very small dicks.
It's really offensive.
Yeah,
there's plenty of black guys walking around with 5.5-inch penises.
So,
I mean, where are those guys?
not on the porn sites I frequent, I'll tell you that much. Not on my screensaver. That's when you're up top.
Not on blackedout.com, where it's just the dick takes up the entire. No, too much.
That was too far.
What do you think is the
blackedout.com is actually, it takes you right to Trump. Trump.com.
He bought the domain.
He bought the
redirect.
Yeah. Oh, that's a slide.
How do you have you? I'm sure every comic has. On stage, do you feel responsibility when something like this is going on to say something on stage, or is it just such an overwhelming feeling of being hit in the face from so many directions with something where you're like, it's consuming my brain so much that I can't not go do what I do, which is talk about stuff that happens to me or that I'm thinking about and not talk about it?
What blows my mind about what's been going on since Trump won is Trump supporters are sensitive as hell right now. It's almost like they lost. It's like you say anything on Facebook, they just go crazy and defend themselves. But it's like, but you guys won. Like, it let the other side talk shit a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, this is exactly a perfect example of where we're at right now in terms of how divided this country is. I wrote something on my Facebook page yesterday that had nothing to do with politics. I wrote something like just classic depressive stupid thing I would write, or like, we're all going to be dead in 100 years, LOL. Just like something you write when you're...
I read that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just something dumb you write and then you're like, I don't know why I wrote that, but who gives a shit?
Yeah.
So anyway, so some guy that I see, he like texts me like 2 hours later, he goes, I'm really sorry about this, man. I didn't mean to get engaged in that discussion with her, but she just kept pulling me in. I'm like, what?
Like, oh,
and then
no.
I went back and looked at the thing, and there's like this whole diatribe of 50 different... I'm like, that had nothing to do with politics. How did you guys start arguing on my timeline?
Yeah. Oh, I have so many insinuated arguments that happened because of me posting one thing. And I've been even more active than I ever thought I would, but I just... certain things, and you know, sometimes I'm just I feel like I do enough research on certain things because there are a lot of fake bullshit sites out there. There's also a lot of reposted stuff from like years ago. There's so many unreputable sites that you do have to do a little bit of homework.
You're saying to figure out what's really going on with politics.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Well, that's what's so funny about how divided the nation is, that if even on your own Facebook following, there's that big of divisions.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And those are people who like you. Those are people who have things in common. And even they are completely polar opposite.
Yeah, because they chose to follow you.
Yeah.
It's like there was a story today about how Wanda Sykes got booed at one of her shows when she started doing Trump jokes. I'm like, who's going to a Wanda
She's
Sykes?
She's a black lesbian. Yeah. How shocked are you?
Right. Like, who goes to see Wanda Sykes and goes, I can't wait for that pro-Trump material?
Oh, it's so true, man.
Like, who the fuck?
It's just that the problem is, like, everybody is uneducated. Like, in a lot of different ways.
Everybody.
Like what Adam said is so true. It's like, I will see something on someone's timeline. I'm like, oh, Hillary, the emails weren't that? But that's what I believe now, because I don't want to look around anymore.
I don't want to compare.
Yeah. Also, some of the Trump supporters will, I mean, look, not all of them are racist and xenophobic and stupid. A lot of them are, but not all of them.
And, no, certainly not all of them. They just don't care.
They don't care. And they also, because I've had some things where they, even their arguments will be just so lacking knowledge and understanding where I'm like, yo, man, Pence, I go, Trump is bad, but let's get Pence in there too, because we all know that like electroshock therapy to un-gay people is for sure something that we should all be in favor of. And then somebody put like, really? Trump's so bad? Well, Hillary's a fucking cunt. And you're like, wait, that's your argument?
Right.
Yeah.
It was a classic. I took, like, one thing that's amazing is just going, like, on a 45-minute flight in America, you're in a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
So I went to Tucson this weekend for a wedding, and just the guy picked me up in the Uber, drive me from the airport, is like, it was just 100% different attitude about the election. He was just like, thank God, you know, finally things are good. And I was like, I was just 45 minutes ago, I was in America, or so I thought, where I watched the election results come in at Moshe Kasher and Natasha Leggero's house in a swimming pool full of hipster liberal comedians.
Wow.
And I'd gotten invited with an email thing that day, be like, come over and swim and celebrate the first female president. And then cut to 3 hours later of just like bobbing in the water with this look of like shock on everyone's face. How could this happen? And then you go like 45 minutes on a plane and it's like, oh, this is out.
Oh, yeah. Tucson,
of course,
Uber.
This is
That's
how it happened.
This is how it
happened. This guy, this is just an example. And like, again, liberals are uneducated, Republicans are uneducated. People are just fucking uneducated.
We're all dumb. This is just dumb. This is just one example.
But it's amazing.
The dumb dumbs won. Like, we're dumb. There's dumb and dumber won.
Absolutely. And this guy's giving me this whole spiel about how he hates Obama because he lost his job because of Obama, and he had to go on unemployment for 3 years. And he ends his speech being like, because fucking Obama was turned into America into goddamn socialism. You were on unemployment for 3 years. What do you understand? That is completely a thing of socialism. Like, you can't have it both ways. Do you not even understand socialism to that context?
I mean, the answer is no.
No, absolutely does not. It's unbelievable.
Wow. And I'm sure your comment that got him into the whole Trump diatribe was probably like, wow, Arizona. So
exactly.
Is it that hot right now? And he's like, well, It's burning up because Satan almost took control of the White House. And let me tell you what's really happening.
You're so right, man. They're like dogs on a thing. Like, they're fucking ready to go. You know.
And it's basically every, like, it seems like everyone right now is that woman that knows that you cheated on her and is just waiting.
Just
biding her time before she says that, so it's like, oh yeah, oh God, wow, tough day at work. So hard you had to bang somebody else.
Like, so true.
Just so waiting. Like, they're like, I have some information.
But you know what it must be like? It must be like, if you're like a liberal person, you know, the like transgender bathroom issues, like to someone like me, it's like, yeah, I care about that enough where like that's going to kind of like affect, like, okay, like, I don't care a ton. I'm not going to go out and say like I'm going to march for that. But yeah. I do, look, I'm sensitive to the issue, and like, I think transgender people should be able to use whatever bathroom they want. To me, it's a non-issue. They should be able to do it.
Yeah.
It's not the biggest thing keeping me up at night, but they should.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then if you're like on the far right, it's probably like, are you fucking serious? Like, why? I don't give a shit at all. I'm concerned with, like, you know, whatever those fucking those people in Oregon were protesting about. And to me, I'm like, well, I don't give a shit about equal land ownership or whatever the fuck you guys were talking about.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
like, I don't even know. I don't even know what it is they were angry about. I'm certainly not angry about it because I don't fucking care about government owned this and that.
Well, yeah. One thing that people do is they project, and you kind of did it with being in California around your friends, and then you go to Arizona, you always sort of project your normal onto everyone else.
Totally.
You always say like, well, this is what I believe and what's important to me and what I'm going through, so everyone else must be going through this too.
Yeah.
Nope.
Not at all. Not at all.
We're also all in such bubbles. Like, we live in such bubbles. And it's like, thankfully, we were fortunate to be able to travel around the country and see other bubbles. But even when you go, like, I was just in Erie, Pennsylvania, and even though I got a little bit of glimpse into like Trump country and just like that mindset, and spending some time and having some beers with some of those people at the bar, you get to know them for a minute, but then like on the surface, and then you leave and you take like your generalized perception of like, oh, Erie was actually pretty cool, the crowds were cool, the Trump discussions were minimal, but then it's like, nah, man, like, so, you know, you don't really know. You have to really spend, and those people never come here, and they're probably not going, they're not traveling.
Yeah.
I just feel like we all have such small ideas of just where everyone sure. else is in their lives in the world, and you generalize it, because you're like, oh, the Midwest, you see some on TV, or some news reporter, or like, even one woman who had kind of a mustache and was a Trump supporter in Erie, I was like, my fucking, well, there you go. Like, but that's probably not all of them.
No, yeah. I mean, in regard to that, Erie, Pennsylvania is definitely not the hot epicenter of beautiful, beautiful people.
Erie's the Vegas of the Northeast.
Because I know the club. I've done that club.
I love the club.
It's a great club.
This has nothing to do with the club.
No, but you know what's funny? It's like, because it just goes down to like what your context is. You're saying your bubble. Like, the reason I care about transgender bathroom issues a little bit is because I do know some transgender people. I'm like,
yeah,
well, that I could personalize it.
Yes.
But if you don't know anyone like that,
then what the fuck do you have care about it?
It's the same thing with like people are so in the bubble. I did a podcast the other day, and somehow it was by this, like, I can't remember. It was like a fundamentalist black Christian dude. And he straight up told me when I mentioned Adam Sandler, he did not know Adam Sandler was Jewish.
Wow.
Like, are you? Wow, that's how little you fucking like.
Eight Crazy Nights.
Wow, like, it's amazing. Like,
the Hanukkah song is as popular as Dark Side of the Moon.
He's like, oh, I thought he was just sort of like, you know, the way Country Axel write about going to jail, but they weren't in jail or something. Like
all right, well, again, like, hey, your
bubble, but I'm just saying,
bubble.
Like, bubble shit.
You're shocked, and then you start breaking it down, and you're like, but.
Like, I just found this out. There's no real Medea. That's Tyler Perry in that dress.
Shut
you know
up.
That? No, I swear to God. Rumoring. I swear to God.
Not believing
it. Okay, it wasn't at first, but the Boo Christmas.
No, that just gets passed. The Medea character just gets passed down generation through generation.
She's been around for 10,000 years.
It's just
she's like a chupacabra.
It's just like the Dread Pirate Roberts from movie Princess Bride. It's been like 10 people that have played him.
Is there going to be like Medea's Trump America? Like, how does she capitalize on the topical nature of the changing world? Like,
well, I like how Chappelle on his Saturday Night Live thing kind of.
God, I haven't seen
it. Wasn't Chappelle.
I need to.
Man, I've watched it like 40 times.
It was that episode. It was in Weekend Update. Someone said something like, one of those guys, I think it was Michael Chase, said like, I didn't think Trump was going to win, and I didn't think Medea Christmas was going to be the most popular movie in America. So it's like two things that are inexplicable on different sides of the political coin, but equally dumb, I'm sure.
I mean, it's when you find out that the highest paid person on cable television is Judge Judy.
By a lot. Yeah, like $47 million.
Like, she makes almost $50 million a year.
She always delivers.
Adam
always sticks up for Judge Judy. I mean, just ever since I've known him, you think you're on the same page, you think you're rolling, and then someone says Judge Judy, he's wringing his hands.
Hey, yeah. Well, he's like, how dare you? She reminds me of my
mother. She got my grandfather
mother.
Out of that parking ticket. Season 47.
My buddy didn't finish painting my garage one summer, and she got him to finish. No, I want to know, in your new special, Negative Reinforcement.
Yeah,
which on is, CISO.
CISO. If you don't have CISO, guys, if you sign up now, it's NBC's new digital comedy platform. Go to CISO.com, and you enter Mo Mandel. You have like, I think you had a really good deal.
You can get a month free right now.
All right.
You get a month free on CISO, and CISO's got a lot of great stuff on it, and because it's from NBC, you can get any SNL ever, which is awesome. And then they got, I think, Jonah Ray has a show on CISO.
Yeah, a lot of different shows on there, and then like you can also watch every episode of 30 Rock, every episode of Saturday Night Live. They have Jimmy Fallon. They got this great special called Negative Reinforcement by Me, which is very exciting.
Yeah,
very exciting.
Special.
Which is phenomenal.
I was happy,
watched a big chunk of it. I was very impressed. I don't know, like, content obviously is king, but like the production value of it was... It was immediately very eye-catching to me, and for whatever reason, and I think we all have that visual aspect in wanting to enjoy something, but it was like, it doubled everything for me, you know, the way it was shot, like the shots
cool,
it used, like the backdrop, like how you looked with the light, it was all like pretty flawless.
Oh, thank you, man, I appreciate
And the material
that.
Was spot on, I mean, like you're, you know.
The STD clinic joke.
Sure.
I'm a fan of that one.
Thank you.
And I'm not going to make you do the bit, but there's a great bit about you going to an STD clinic and what you experience there. And
we should at least give a little more context. People are like, what, this guy got Hep C? Okay, cool.
So,
good for him for doing a special about that.
Basically, what we're trying to say is watch special now because based on what happened at the STD clinic, Mo's not going to be with us for too much longer.
Brad, you didn't watch the whole bit. I was clean.
No, so he's there. So, I mean, have they cleared that up yet? I mean, are you hoping for a cure?
The They've never seen something so infected, and they're telling me that they're looking into Russian space technology to see if they can release that. No, that's so funny because that STD clinic store, which is the one where I, you know, basically I'm like sitting in the waiting room. It's totally true. Like I basically overheard a guy find out that he did not have AIDS, mm-hmm. and that shit blew his mind.
Let me. Do you mind?
Yeah, no, please.
Yeah.
That's an ad?
That's the CISO logo.
Oh, okay.
But I did have to go get an STD test a few weeks ago because I had a rash on my penis. Yeah. Not the bad kind of rash, the kind where you're like, is this from sweat or the devil? What happened?
I love that.
Turn out a little bit of both.
And I went to the clinic and I had to wait 45 minutes to get the test, which pissed me off because that's like 43 minutes longer than it took me to get the rash.
Brilliant line.
Yeah,
by
that's
the way.
Why you're so great, man. You find
brilliant fucking.
There's not a space without a joke.
I'm glad it took a long time because while I was waiting in the STD clinic, I overheard something incredible. And I actually saw this. I overheard a guy find out that he did not have AIDS. And that fact blew his mind. I swear to God, this dude cannot believe he did not have AIDS.
I love that.
So fucking true, too.
No AIDS? No AIDS?
Bullshit.
I love that.
No AIDS.
Wait, not even a little
no
bit.
No AIDS. Like, not even just a little snitch behind my ears. Like, no AIDS, no AIDS.
Yeah. There we go.
No.
Yeah,
it's so funny because what ended up happening is I ended up actually having a yeast infection.
But what?
I got a yeast infection on my dick, which I didn't know
dudes
you could have.
Dudes can get that?
Yeah, and I didn't even get it from sex. Usually you get it from a woman having a yeast infection. I got it from being like in New York City and it was like really like
hung
fucking hot.
Too long in the deli?
And, yeah, my brother had got, I was staying with my brother. He ended up getting evicted because it was this whole crazy story because he was paying subleasing, but the woman wasn't paying. So anyway, I was locked out of an apartment for like 2 days and didn't have any clothes. So I was like, I'll just wear the same clothes.
Yeah.
And then I ended up getting like my fucking dick like exploded with like what I was like, well, I fucking have something horrific.
No, what were the sensations you were
just
going
like
through?
You know, like your knuckles get all like white and ashy sometimes.
Yeah,
you're basically your dick gets like that. So I'm just like googling everything. I'm like, I'm fucking dying, like something. And the worst part is
you're googling like knuckly dick. Like
I'm
what
just
are you
like
googling?
Knuckle dick. Yeah, knuckly dick. Turns out a lot of weird porn out there that you do not that I cannot shake.
Also
off.
A lot of weird dicks out there.
A lot of weird dicks
looking
out
like
there.
Knuckles. Yeah.
Knuckle dick. Oh god, that sounds like the bouncer of the club. You do not want to meet.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Old knuckle dick's out. He is on the prowl.
You're not getting in tonight,
that's
Barry.
Like the cellmate you don't want to get.
He's so strong. His dick has knuckles.
Knuckle dick.
But I was terrified, you know? Yeah. And then that kind of little situation happened, what the bit is based about. And like, you know, you go to STD, you have symptoms of something, you're terrified. Mm-hmm. I remember laughing like out loud while overhearing that to the point where I took out my laptop and just started writing it down while waiting. Like you know how funny something has to seem to you?
Yeah.
To stop thinking that you have fucking knuckle dick and to actually anyway, so I went in there, I go to the doctor, I'm just like, yeah, so it is what it is, right? It's terrible. He's like, oh no, dude, you just have a yeast infection. I was like, what? I didn't guys can have
I'm,
that? He's like,
I'm yeah. sure you needed a lot of explanation.
And then it was gone. He gave me like a cream and it was like, oh, that was gone in like 2 days.
Oh,
and I had it for like 3 weeks because I was just like, I was like,
well, could
like,
you put it on?
Yeah, you're like scared. You're like, oh God. Like, I don't like
know.
This is going to go away if I will it to go away. And the thing is, it happened right before I went to South Africa to do comedy. So that's also why I didn't go to the doctor because I was out of the country.
Oh, yeah.
So I had to come back and I had a girlfriend at the time. I had to come back and be like, now I know I was just in Africa. I know my dick is a fucking disaster. I'd like to say I did not cheat on you and I don't know what the fuck is going on, but it's like nothing seems less believable.
No,
than that.
No, that's all the wrong
that's
things
all the wrong
thing.
I was on the road in a foreign country.
I know
where certain diseases are prevalent.
I mean, but
prevalent.
That's one of those examples where like truth really is stranger than fiction. It's yeah. like, oh no, he's actually not fucking lying.
Did she believe you?
I think she did, to her credit. What a dummy. She was right, but still, why would you believe that?
Why would you believe that? You're like, all right, I know I just came back from
the bachelor party. I didn't believe it while
Vegas.
I was saying it, yeah.
Yeah. You're like, I know this sounds weird.
It looks like a Filipino girl's teeth marks on my ball sack, but that is, I had a zipper injury.
Yeah, there's not a lot of.
I love that you were race specific with that.
Yeah, well, yeah.
not white girl.
I think you said
not,
Vegas,
not
and I immediately
girl.
Was thinking about the girl from Very Bad Things.
Oh yeah,
the Filipino
stripper. Great movie.
One of my favorite movies.
Yeah, absolutely.
How much do you talk about? You have a new girlfriend, yeah?
No,
you don't.
No.
What do I think you did?
Thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, but it hurt.
I'm single too. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, but you're like on the road with Adam Devine. You're like gone with new kids on the block. I mean, you're like living a good single right now. You're in a bunch of movies. Like, you're like living good
a
single.
Couple.
You're no. I'm staring at a banner of you as I'm talking.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm living single. I am the epitome of the short-lived
sitcom.
What was it? WB?
Queen Latifah was in that.
No, you're not. You're not this short-lived.
No,
yours last date. What was it? Which one are you talking about? Mad?
No, Living Single. Remember that sitcom?
Yeah. What do you mean you're the epitome of that?
I don't know. I was just trying to have a play on words joke with that show.
Right.
I want to know. So you didn't
Maxine Shaw, Attorney at Law?
Do you talk about it in Negative Reinforcement?
Yeah, well, it's funny because we had broke up right around when that time that special came out. So I hadn't really talked about the breakup.
Okay.
But in all my new stuff,
yeah,
a lot of things happened to me in the last year. I haven't, I'm sober. I haven't had a drink in almost 2 years.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Why did that happen?
Just too many fucking, it was like the drinking thing was kind of in control. I was hosting that bar show, Barmageddon, it was cool.
Which was great.
And I had no problems with that. Oddly enough, I just got recognized. I was at a restaurant in Tucson this last weekend. The guy came up to me and was like, fucking, oh, I love that show. Like, people in the restaurant business and bars, like, loved that show.
They love bar shows.
They love bar shows.
It's their world.
You bring a bar rescue to any bartender, they're like, I love that show.
Oh, yeah. Doctors loved MASH, you know? And
you know why?
Alcoholics love
narcissists.
We just want to watch us.
That's why we love watching like...
It's like people are like, Brad, do you watch Game of Thrones? Like, of course I do. What do you think? I don't watch the greatest dwarf character in the history of television.
Right. You must be thrilled about that, huh?
I mean, I am and I'm not. I am because it's a great show.
Dinklage is doing nothing but helping.
Sure. I mean,
right?
But then you like... Everyone then compares me to him.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm not there yet.
Oh, really?
Oh,
but you guys are in such different genres, though.
Yeah, that's way funnier than Dinklage.
You're a lot funnier than Dinklage, and he has a lot more
money.
Family money based on
money
the Westrosses.
Family money? Yeah.
No, I mean, I just mean his character in the show.
Never seen it. Rich as shit.
What?
Yeah, but I have seen
I have seen
Shanghai Nights twice in the theater.
All right, fair enough.
Priorities.
Is it that good of
evens the score.
Is it that good of a show?
It's good.
Yeah, it's good.
I don't know, dude.
I didn't want to backtrack so quickly.
I feel
quickly.
Like it's kind of fucked up that you're not supporting Brad's people. You know what I mean?
There's nobody who supports Brad's people harder.
Because I watch every show that a Jew's on, which is every show.
Brad has to watch TV 29 hours a day. Oh, he has like 7 screens going.
Like Minority Report.
Yeah. I've got that going just to cover all the Jews.
Jew.
Yeah. And you can't cover the 2 dwarf shows.
Someone said that to me the other day. They go, so why aren't you doing any acting? And I go, I can't fucking book a part. What do you mean? Like, I can't see the book apart. And they go,
why aren't you doing it? Why can't you just decide to be on TV?
They said that. They go, really? You're a Jew in Hollywood and you can't book a part? I was like, oh, God, that really feels bad. People are like, actually, there's really no fucking, there's no reason not to.
Well, but then at the same time, they've got to understand, you don't just walk into the room and go,
of course, but it's
hello, everyone. My name is Mo Mandel. Jewish.
Right.
They go,
well, maybe you should.
Oh, a Jew. We don't have any of those.
Right, exactly.
Wait, so you stopped drinking because just too much?
No, I was like, after that bar show was done, I was just sort of like, all right, that was, it was all good, and it was always like it was not a problem at all, but I was just sort of like, fuck, dude, I just drank like solid for a year. I was on the road with it. Like, the thing is, when you're on like a road with a reality show crew, it's like way worse than being on the road as a stand-up, because you're with like a bunch of fucking pirates. Like, they're road people, you know? They're used to hanging out in hotels, being around bars. They're cracking open beers in the hotels. So you're drinking during your job, then you're drinking afterwards. So by the time I was done, I was like, dude, I just need to fucking...
And you're on a bar show.
You're on a bar show.
So then every now and then when you do have a free moment to yourself, someone recognizes you in the bar show and goes, oh, you're the Barmageddon guy. You must love to drink.
Exactly. And I was single, so then I was just really going crazy. So it was just like a few nights over a lot of control. I was like, all right, let me just fucking take a break. And then I really...
Did somebody say something to you, or was it all inner?
My dad had said some things to me, my brother had, and I was just sort of like... It was a classic thing where you're like, you're starting to piss people off, and you're starting to like, things were kind of getting a little bit like crazy. So I was like, all right, let me just fucking take it cool out. And I haven't had a drink in almost 2 years now.
I really enjoyed it. Wow. Yeah. I mean, your skin does look brighter.
Thank you so much.
I'm not even joking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what have you noticed the big differences?
Sex is way better.
Cause
you're sober and you're like, you're fucking
aware of your moves.
You're aware of your moves and you're aware of
what you can do, by the way.
Yeah. And you're like, you're present, you know? It's a weird thing, but it's totally true.
Wow.
Everything else is worse.
I don't have
it. And that is not a joke.
Small talk with strangers.
Everything else is where it's.
It's harder to get sex.
TV shit. Yeah. Shit. Oh, it's impossible to get sex.
You can't do it.
I came straight from a Match.com date now. And that's not fun, dating. This is a bit I do in my act now, but like, there's nothing weirder than being sober and single. You kind of seem like a predator, you know, because like, all you do as a guy is take women to bars and hope they drink and want to have sex, so you're kind of like, hey, you should get drunk. Just you. I'm going to sit there with a Pepsi. Let me know when you're ready to make a mistake. You know what I mean? Like, it's so fucking creepy, you know?
That is, like, but, yeah.
What else are you gonna do?
Then, like, you can't really go on a sober date unless you find another sober person.
Well, yeah, but like, everyone likes to, people like to drink. I get it. So it's like, and the thing is, like, I still go to bars all the time.
Sure,
you just have no craving for it, or
no, I really don't. Like, it was for me. I mean, yeah, there's moments. There's certainly moments. But for me, it was not like an every time I had a drink thing. Like, Barmageddon, I had no problem with that. I never had any issue with that. No one was ever like, oh, drinking too much. It was never an issue. And I could go back behind the bars and drink and all that. It was just every now and then in my personal life, I would go out and drink, and it would just be like, oh, I'm just not going to stop doing this until I, you know, blacked out. And then, I would black out. Like, I remember one time with my ex-girlfriend, I woke up after New Year's, and I was like, I woke up next year, and I just had, like, this good feeling inside. I was like, oh, man, that was a great night last night. And she looked at me and then immediately burst into tears. And she was like, you just got back into bed. You just got into bed 10 minutes ago. You were asleep on the floor and you got us kicked out of the cab and we had to walk home. And I was like, I don't remember any of this stuff that you said.
Oh, my God.
It was fucking brutal. Oh, so I would like start blacking out. So I went to a doctor and I was like, what the fuck's going on? And he was like, some people's brains just start developing allergies to alcohol. And if you're one of those people who drinks too much and then you start having blackouts, like, that's just going to keep happening. You can't, your brain is, once it starts doing that,
so
like,
it's
every
like,
now and then.
It's like defending itself. Is it saying, I can't take this?
It's like an allergy that based on how he described to me. Like, the way you can, some people become lactose intolerant as they get older in life, some people's brains just start developing a more of a sensitivity to alcohol.
Wow.
And you couldn't figure out, like, let me have a couple. Like,
no, that's the thing. Like, I think that's where I know I'm probably I'm on the spectrum of alcoholism, because that I would always tell myself, like, so after the New Year's thing, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to drink anymore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, I remember one time I was shooting a short film that I had put up like $2,500 for, you know, and it took a lot of pre-production planning. You know, I got everyone to come and do it. Eric Griffin was in it.
Yeah.
I had good actors in it. Like, Natasha was in it. They were all doing me favors.
Nice.
And then the night before was my birthday.
Yeah, I think I remember that. You sent it to me.
Yeah.
That was incredible.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it would have been a lot better if I wasn't more hungover than I've ever been in my entire life most of the day of shooting it.
That'll do it.
Because we went out for my birthday night before. I'm like, okay, you're putting up your money. You know, people are doing favors. Like, you just have like one drink. And then people came and they bought me drinks and I basically woke up.
And then the other side of your shoulder goes, but it's also your birthday, Mo.
And then you have like a few drinks and if you're like me, you're like, this is so much fun. This is so much fun. And then I wake up like so much vomit in the sink. It's clogged. I can't open my eyes. I have to drink like two Red Bulls on the way to set. I'm like, just like, there's like 12 people showing up. My head's just pounding. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you that you're doing that to yourself?
Yeah.
So luckily somehow when I was doing the Barmageddon show, like, it was not a problem at all. I like, again, literally, that's why a lot of my friends, when I told them I was going to be sober, they're like, dude, you have, like, people who worked on the show, like, I never saw you even get drunk on that show. Like, I never had a problem with that.
What do you notice with your comedy that's different?
I
mean, are you writing with more clarity? Are you coming with better ideas?
I definitely feel like I've developed more new material than I have in a while. Yeah.
Because now you're actually focused on it.
You're focused
on
it.
Yeah. You're more in the moment. You can remember
it. And you remember it. That's a huge thing of it. It's kind of depressing when I would have these nights, because usually I would have a lot of fun when I drink. I really would enjoy it. I guess that was the problem.
Hey, you're a fun drinker.
Yeah.
You were.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, that Mo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But which is fine, because that Mo was fucking around for a long time.
Yeah.
And you only get to live once, so. Why not let the next 30, probably hopefully 60 years of your life be different experiences?
Yeah.
That's what I kind of felt like. I'm like, I keep having the same night, you know?
Because
that's one thing when you see people who drink, who really are alcoholics, and I wouldn't put myself necessarily like full on in that zone, like with people who are real, like my aunt, like super alcoholic, she'll live the same
Groundhog
night.
Day.
Every night.
Yeah.
You just see it. She has one drink, she's like this. Second drink, she's a little loud. Third drink's a little defensive. Fourth drink, and then you see the over.
There's
and
a
over
pattern,
over.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Because it becomes comfortable and they start to recognize that pattern too, and they're like, she probably senses that, like, you know, I'm getting a little bit louder with this drink, but that's fine because I'll calm down on the 17th.
Right. Yeah. And then also it's like they just like it so much.
What so this special, what do you love about it?
One thing I really like about it is I always like I always liked when there was like a through line to comedy specials. And
me too.
Yeah, some general theme.
Yeah, and I'm not necessarily good at that generally in stand-up. I feel like I'm good at like writing like quick, fast jokes, but it's hard for me to like I can't tell a fucking story generally. Like I have one story on the special, this Julio Iglesias story.
Amazing. Yeah. We watched that.
Thank you. Yeah, and that's like one of these stories. I'm like, God, I wish I could do more of that where I could actually write about real shit, but it's very hard for me to do that. But what I like about this special is I think because I put this out probably recorded when I was like over 10 years into comedy. So I had like a lot of material to draw from on it. And I was able to kind of pick it in a way that I think I call it negative reinforcement. It really is about that side of my brain, like that sort of like all encompassing negativity sort of way that I sort of like have this bit where I keep referencing Negatron. Say if I was a Transformer, I'd be like Negatron instead of trying to move. And so I have like this
Negatron t-shirts are available at momentbell.com.
There you go. Well, thank you because I was actually ramping up for that.
Hey, everybody, it's Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Hope you're enjoying this episode. Really quick, I want to tell you guys about me for a minute, okay? My life. I'm a single guy. Brad's got his fiance and his world locked up, but I'm still going on dates, and I'm now cooking for these dates, okay? I'm going out of my way to be a better person. And look, I hate grocery shopping, okay? So I'm using HelloFresh. I'm sure you've heard of it. They sponsor the podcast because they're the fucking shit, man. HelloFresh is a meal kit delivery service that makes cooking fun, easy, and convenient. All right? Every week, they send you food with step-by-step recipes, these new recipes that they create with instructions that are designed to take around 30 minutes for everyone, you know, from novices to seasoned home cooks in a short amount of time, all right? They offer all sorts of custom boxes, classic box, veggie box, and they're going to be launching a new family box soon. And you can order 3, 4, or 5 different meals per week designed for 2 or 4 people. They have new recipes every week. It's the shit, man. All their ingredients are fresh, all right? They're measured to the exact quantities needed, so there's no food waste because, look, that's a problem for me. I would get food, and then I would not know how much to cook, and, like, it's just, you know, when it's all laid out and structured for you, it's a lot easier. It's been a lot easier for not only me, but my date as well. And then we have a great time. And, you know, who knows? Maybe fall in love. HelloFresh also employs a full-time registered dietitian on staff to review each recipe to make sure it's nutritionally balanced, which is what you want. You want to cook good, taste good, eat good, so you feel good. All these boxes are delivered to your doorstep in a special insulated box for free, so the food stays fresh and dope as long as it's in that box, which who else offers that? The answer is nobody. So here's how you get $35 off your first week of deliveries. Go to HelloFresh.com and enter the promo code ALN to get $35 off your first week of deliveries when you subscribe, all right? So go to HelloFresh.com, promo code ALN, get $35 off your first week of deliveries, and start living, eating, and loving life the good way. And now, back to the episode.
Yeah, oh, good. But, so I found a way to kind of weave this Negatron sort of theme into the whole special, and there are t-shirts available.
Great,
great. With a big thumbs down. But so when I watch it now, I'm like, all right, that's cool. Like, it's called something, and it makes sense that it's called that, you know?
But I've just heard from so many comics, Brad included, where, you know, they're happy with their specials, and then, of course, like, shortly after, you think of more tags or more, a better, something to strengthen it. So, like, and obviously, like, you spent a long time, you know, crafting that hour, so you are pumped about it because you chose to do it. So, but there's that natural artist in you that's self reflective and overly critical that can sometimes be crippling, right? And watch it and go, ah, fuck that. So, I mean, were you able to let yourself just go, oh, this is like pat on the back, great job, Mo? Like,
yeah. I think I am, but I mean, definitely, yeah. I'm not like sitting there watching it again right now because I'm like, I know it'll fucking drive me crazy.
Did you watch a bunch when you?
Yeah, I was in there a lot for the editing. I mean, each set I did was about 1:20, and I cut it down to about 1:06. And I wish I would have cut it down to like 55 because I realized, oh, if I'd have cut out all those, I'd have another 11 minutes towards my next special. That was fucking stupid. I don't know why I was this will be great. I'll have a full 1:06. Like, takes a long time to come up with 11 minutes.
Right. You know, it is strange. And then you see you come up with the tags, and if you watch it again, but smart of you to be involved in the editing process.
Oh, yeah.
Because, and I would, a lot of comics listen to this podcast. When you shoot your special, be in the room because you know why a joke is funny. You know
how long to sit on a camera shot of it before you cut away,
or like you know how you want that joke to be viewed, so it's at its funniest. And be in there and fight for those camera shots, man.
Yeah, and fight for everything, like the whole look and feel of it that you want. is like,
just understand that
determines that, a lot about it.
Because you as the comic, you have one mission and one mission only. Be funny. That is all you want, all you want to do. The director or the cinematographer might have the mission of, oh, but this shot looks cool.
Yeah.
Okay, great. It looks cool. I'm not denying you that. But it doesn't make the joke funnier.
Or yeah.
It actually makes it less funny.
Totally. And that's one thing with our the special. Like, I wanted, what I like about it is it looks, it's like it's in a theater, but it looks kind of undergroundy a little bit. There's like a lot of, it's like a lot of
great, cool look to it.
Yeah, camera movement and stuff. But
where'd
I noticed
it,
the Gothic in Denver.
Nice.
I think Eliza shot her second special.
Yeah, I told you
immediately. I mean, that's like right at the top of my list right now.
Do it. It's like, because my whole concern was like, I can't like sell out a bigger theater than that. You know what I mean? So this was like
550 is healthy.
It was healthy. Yeah. And like I got on the radio there a lot and they gave away a lot of free tickets. I mean, like it got it, but they were people who wanted to be there. It was great.
Yeah.
And you could feel the crowd. But I noticed like what you're saying, Brad, about like the feel of it. If we use too much of the cool handheld shots, the shit wasn't funny. Like it gets distracting. Like it's such a weird science comedy.
There's a reason why it's like whenever you watch football. And they have that basic camera angle. It's been the same camera angle for 50 years of just that camera on the track, on the sideline. There's a reason why they have it. It works. It's the best camera angle for it. Sometimes we go, and now we go to the I'm trying to do my John Gruden. And now we go to the overhead cam. And then like you're just like, go back to the side. Go back to the camera I like.
Yeah.
There is a main shot that just kind of works. Sometimes you try to get too innovative and like, well, let's have the guy wandering through the aisles as I'm telling the joke. And you realize, oh, no, that takes away from the joke.
Have you seen the new Kevin Hart movie that came out,
Where he sells out a fucking football stadium?
Yeah, and then is so genius that he sells that out, makes all that money, and then releases it as a movie, and then makes all that other money.
Right.
But I'm curious see... Yeah, I mean, that guy is one of my favorites, but I'm curious to see how that plays, because there's a lot of multimedia shit that he's doing in that special.
Yeah.
You know? I mean,
when you're playing a football stadium... When it gets to be that many people, you can't just do the standard, what's the deal?
Right.
You can't just do that.
Right.
Yeah. Although that would have been great if he had done that.
That would be so great.
At least for 10 minutes. He goes, I just want to see how this would play.
Yeah.
I mean, he has so much goodwill for his fans that they'd probably give him like 10 minutes. They're like, what the fuck is going on?
What level do you think you have to get it? And he's probably at it to where you have such a solid fan base where you can experiment outside of what you think they would enjoy.
I don't know, but I mean, I think that's really difficult because it annoys me when artists do that.
But
I have no reason to be angry about it.
Yeah.
It's like it's their career.
It's
but you're like, what the fuck, dude? That's not what I didn't fall in love with that.
It's like,
like I felt that with I mean, I don't want to name anybody, but there's plenty of artists we've all enjoyed. But then you're like,
I'll just name one because he's a billionaire.
Don't say Judge Judy. We're gonna have a fucking whole issue.
All right.
We're just recovering from that.
I'll name a second one then.
Judge Brown. At least say Judge Brown.
I don't even know who that is.
Judge Mathis. I'm just going to name TV judges. No, there. Garth Brooks, at one time in his career, did some character like Chris Gaines. And it was like an emotional singer-songwriter, not country.
Yeah.
And he called it a different name, Chris Gaines. And then...
Like, why?
I did not know that.
Yeah. Oh, Google Chris Gaines right now.
Again?
Because Garth Brooks looks... He looks like the lead singer of My Chemical Romance. Like, he's all emo. He's got, like, bangs.
Was this for SNL?
No.
Man.
That's a real thing. He did that, and he released an album as Chris Gaines.
Look, you see that?
Bizarre.
Jesus.
Yeah. And so that's him just like being
hair
like,
hair combed down, soul patch.
Yeah. He's like, I want to try something different.
I mean, I guess.
Made a bong out of a squeeze it bottle.
If you just get that damn successful, I mean, maybe it's like, what else do you do? I thought the best example of why that's generally a bad idea is that movie Top Five that Chris Rock put out last year. When the DMX scene where he's in the jail and DMX is saying, like, I've always wanted to be like an opera singer. And then you see that scene, you're like, oh, that's so fucking smart.
Yeah.
Because we've all seen that with like, there's something happens, and I get the sense that's what's happening. That happens to Chappelle. When I watched his monologue, it's like, there's a part of him that just doesn't want to be a clown, doesn't want to be that goofy, like Jim Carrey for a while. Like, just doesn't want to
be that. Yeah, gave up the Impressions Act, even though it was killing.
Yeah, and it's sort of like they almost feel like demeaned by that thing that made everyone love them.
Yeah,
but it's weird though. I don't really understand.
To feel any sort of animosity towards that. Yeah, I mean, I guess
it's strange. I get it. I mean, like, look, it's obviously a prevalent thing because you see it all the time. Steve Martin clearly has that same exact thing.
Eddie Murphy.
You see him on talk show Steve Martin. It's like he goes out of his way to be so erudite and intellectual and the opposite of what made
him
famous.
Yeah, the guy that put the arrow through the
head. Yeah, it's so bizarre.
Do you think that's why Trump is already backpedaling and starting to be like, actually, Obamacare's not that bad? Because he's like, look, I'm tired of being the guy that people love that is hateful and racist and loud and, yeah, and bigoted.
I'll go the other way. I hope so. I hope he is. I hope he's like, there's a part of him that's like, wait a minute. I don't want to be the president who turned this into Nazi Germany. And if I am like,
I, again, I'm a glass half full guy, so I want to believe that he doesn't. I also feel like somebody brought this point up to me. His dad had Alzheimer's. Trump's 70. There's a strong chance he could be up there and just start fucking losing it and be like doing a debriefing on some school shooting and just start going into like the Toys R Us theme song where he's just like, look, it's a terrible day. We all feel very bad for this school. And look, you know, I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid. And we're like, all right, he's probably fucking on his way out because that's crazy. He can't just say that. But also,
by the way, I would love that. That's
the Trump I can handle.
I would love that Trump.
But that Trump, for him being funny without knowing it, is not possible.
I don't know. Like, I don't.
What's funny to him, by the way? Does he have a sense of humor? We see with Obama making jokes. Trump's idea was like, look at Hillary pretending to not hate Catholics. You're like, Jesus Christ. Like, he's just a digger.
See, I actually kind of disagree with you. I think he would be a way better audience member than Hillary.
Really?
Like, if I had to perform for a room full of Trumps, I would be like, I'm going to fucking kill. I'll get him.
Really?
I'll get him. Hillary would be like, well, I don't know what.
Because you would just do a bunch of racist.
Yeah. It'd be like when you're doing like a fucking road gig in the fucking middle of Missouri. You're like, all right, I mean, I'm not going to say anything racist, but I know how to
allude to it.
I know how to get you people going.
I know how to get them.
And then you do like a fucking Jewish intellectual fucking thing. You're like, oh, I have nothing that you people are going to find funny.
Now, see, and that doesn't surprise me about you, and anyone who's listened to your podcast would know this about you, that you kind of like a challenge. You did the podcast.
I used to. I haven't done it in a long time. Versus the World.
Last time you were on, you were just getting going with it.
I know. We had 15 strong episodes.
What happened, man?
You know what was?
It's tough to keep it going, isn't
that it? That show is what became Comedy Knockout on True TV. Because I had...
Which is phenomenal. All right, well, then there was a purpose.
Yeah, no, because I always had this idea for what became Comedy Knockout, the show I created over there.
Yep.
And it was basically...
Coming back, right?
Yeah, yeah. Our next season starts early December. We've already shot, which is exciting, man.
Amazing.
We got Big Jay Oakerson on it.
Brad and I need to fly out and do it one time.
I've tried to get you guys on it.
Yeah. I couldn't. We were both... I was shooting.
You guys are too busy and successful.
I was living single, man.
Trust me.
You were living single. He was... Family Matters. And... Oh, that actually worked.
Dude,
you guys got to do it. It'd be great.
I would love to.
I want you guys to do it together, too.
That'd be great. Well, we're all going to...
All right, if it's going to be you guys, and who would be the third one?
Santino?
Santino or Brent Morin.
Yeah, that's kind of our
Brent
third.
Brent would be great.
I know why that will never happen. Guys, we really need some diversity on this panel.
Okay. Tiffany Haddish.
Yeah.
There we go.
That'd be good, yeah.
That works.
There you go. There's
I think she was on an episode this... Or she was going to be on an episode that she had to cancel, yeah.
Well, and...
Or Amir.
Amir would be fucking
that's
great.
Yeah. Well, Adam and I, and I don't know if we can announce this, but we're about to shoot it. We're about to do Ben Gleib's show.
Nice. Oh, idiot test?
Yeah, we're going to do it together.
That's great.
I'm going to be so bad at that because I feel like I'm. When Ben came on the podcast and did example games, I just remember being terrible at them and like the answers coming around and I was just like, and maybe, you know, I just wasn't in the right mindset and the mics were on, but there'll be mics on at the show too. There'll be an audience. More pressure.
Yeah.
I just get inside my head. It's like when I used to second guess myself with the SATs. It'd be like, dog is to puppy as cat is to A, kitten, B, futon, C, fig Newtons, D, gangbang. I'm like, well, it's probably kitten, but it could be fig Newtons. You know what I'm saying?
right.
I second guess myself.
I'm hoping it's fig Newtons.
Yeah. I don't know how I'm going to fare on this game, but Comedy Knockout, I feel like it's more my
because you're just trying to be funny. Yeah. It's like, no, if I even play Trivial Pursuit, I'm like, oh, like people know this kind of stuff? Like, how would I possibly know any of this shit?
I mean, that's Brad's world, by the way.
Yeah. Really? Are you a trivia guy?
I'm trivia, random facts.
Like, Brad knows who Jonathan Taylor Thomas's best friend from middle school is.
Oh, Hank?
He was great at Pogs, by the way. JTT. I would love to do a show where JTT is on it, and we just get to, like I would love to do, like, a... First of all, I have no idea what he's doing now.
Can you get a celebrity edition of Comedy Knockout?
We've tried. That's definitely been, like...
Meredith Vieira versus JTT?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Finally?
We almost had Triumph the Insult Dog. He was going to go on as himself, and then something happened at the last minute. He couldn't do it.
See, yeah, I would... I would love to do a show or a movie where JTT do essentially the same thing that Neil Patrick Harris did in the Harold and Kumar movies.
Yes.
Where he plays some crazy version of himself.
That's exactly what I mean. I'd love to see him like a heroin fucking junkie lunatic.
Why weren't more actors from that era taking a page out of NPH's book? It's like, dude, that is the... Because
that sort of relaunched Neil's career and completely reinvented it. So it's like,
JTT, if you're listening, fucking Jesse Spano, Elizabeth Berkley, if you're listening, Lark Voorhees, while we're at it, I know we've publicly seen what's going on with you. You could use a turnaround.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Let's do it all, pretty much.
Judith Light.
the guy that played...
the ShamWow guy.
Sure, the ShamWow guy.
He's in jail, right?
Is he?
That's what I'm saying. If you're listening,
he needs a turnaround. Well, that guy's dead, bro.
The guy that definitely needs a turnaround. The guy that played Cody in Step by Step.
Yeah, for sure. He actually is in jail, I think.
Oh, okay.
And I say I think because I unsubscribed.
Manny from Modern Family in 10 years.
Do a preemptive strike.
Yeah, you need a turnaround.
Like, you know shit's going down. I mean, like, your life's not going to be good. You're making $400,000 a week, yikes, and you're 12. Like, come on, dude. No good can happen from that.
What would 12-year what was 12-year Mo like, by the way?
Oh, just
this neurotic, this
nightmare,
fired up,
just a nightmare. If you look at my Twitter page,
when you were 12,
the profile picture I have on my Twitter page is when I'm probably like 10, and I just look like a monster,
just a bouncing off the walls.
Yeah, just like I was so much energy, so much like I had such a bad temper, and so many like weird OCD things.
Yeah,
where like I had like if somebody touched me, I had to touch them back, or I would like think everyone was gonna die.
You were in a crazy game of tag.
Yeah, basically.
Oh my God.
It was high stakes tag. It's like, if you didn't, that's great. I got to do a bit about that. That's amazing, because it was exactly like that. Like, oh, someone touched me. If I don't touch them, if I don't do tag, you're it. My parents are going to die. Like, it was that kind of thing. It's so funny. David Sedaris has he wrote a essay on what it was like to have OCD as a kid, and I read that, and I was like, holy fuck, this is exactly what my life was like.
You had it.
Like, before I would go to bed, I had to go out. I had to do, like, such a routine.
Really?
It was like I would have to snake through every step on my ladder to my loft, then immediately run, look in this mirror, look in that mirror, go outside.
You were 12?
Yeah, have a little loft. It's still my parents' house. Oh, I think they got rid of the staircase.
Oh, loft bed. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't live in – I wasn't big. I wasn't in the movie Big.
Like, got a loft apartment? Those things are awesome.
Yeah, you know, my parents got my own little loft on the Upper West Side. And no, but I had to do all this crazy stuff, and it was like, if I didn't do it, it was like something horrible was going to happen. So that mixed with a lot of energy mixed with...
I mean, I don't think of you as an OCD guy. Has that followed you into adulthood?
I, some point in college, was like, all right, I'm not going to do this shit anymore. Like, if I tear a leaf off that tree, I don't have to tear it off that tree or something bad. Like, I was just like, this is getting out of hand. And I was able to sort of like, I do think I have a lot of, like, psychological things, but I also have a lot of psychological willpower. Same thing with drinking. I think once
you just got to stop.
Yeah,
that.
Once it gets to the point where I'm like, whoa, this is not how you want your life to be. Like, I can kind of flip a switch.
Wow.
But, I guess that's useful for comedy, though. Like, I know I was going to ask this earlier, but, like, what is your writing process? I'm very curious with people, especially for you're an amazing joke writer, and you know,
thanks,
accompany
man.
That with your just delivery and your voice, it's like it's a you got a great package. So, and your comedy's good too.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
What he did was a switcheroo, right, Mom? Officer,
right, Mom? Everyone's had one of those.
Oh God,
I remember my first one of those. You want to hear it real quick?
Yes, I do.
It was year one, and the first time I ever headlined, and I go.
By the way, he was also doing it during year five. That was still one of his best jokes.
That's fine. My point is, that was pre-Folgers, and so
those that know your act know exactly what you're talking about.
Dude, people still come up to me and be
it's
like, "Why aren't you doing that anymore?" Because you know what? It was like to be known for one bit at like 5 years in, I felt pretty pumped about. But then,
cool.
Until Kathleen Madigan fucking pissed all over my face with her dick,
sexually.
Yeah, look, Kathleen Madigan. I know you're a great comic, but man, I don't think I've said this on a podcast. So let's let this be the
this
one.
This is gonna be big.
It was last comic say it was her, Alonzo Bowden, and Ant were the judges.
Oh yeah,
and it was like 5 years in. And look, Folgers was a universal killer. It never not worked.
Yeah,
okay,
I can remember about 40 different times I've seen that joke work.
Yep.
And so, actually, you know, I remember doing it once at the OR open mic, and the host just fucking like reaming me afterwards. But whatever. Oh, no, it was Dave Attell. He popped in and went up after me and goes, sorry, no Folgers jokes are coming your way, but buckle up for some dick and pussy shit.
Attell always does that.
Yeah.
But I was like honored. That's a I was like, I don't even do the fact that he mentioned, you know, I was just like, say my name at the end of that. So I go up there and I do my Folgers joke. And I'm the last comic of the day. So they've seen hundreds of people, and now it's me. So I'm thinking like, hey, just let me do my set and get out. I don't know if you need shots of somebody bombing or getting harassed. Hopefully you don't. Well, they did, apparently. Or maybe she was just whatever. So I go in there, I start doing it, and I go, man, and I, you know, there's usually it's tied into something, so I just brought it up kind of with no transition. And I start going, you know, I go, man, Folgers, they should really update that slogan, you know, the best. And I start singing it. And before, and then, you know, the punchline was, you know, the slogan is the best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup. You know, is it? You know, I think to me, it should be the best part of waking up is not dying in your sleep. Sing it. And before I can get to that, she goes, oh, let me stop you. Stop, stop. Whoa, whoa, whoa. And I'm like, what? And the cameras are on, the lights.
But there's no punchline here.
I'm like, this isn't part of the audition. She goes, a Folgers joke? Really? What is it, 1989? And, you know, now I would have been like, had some sort of clever quip to throw back. But I was like, no, it's 2008. Wait, what? Like, what's... What, Kathleen Matt? What? And then
that's not the year Kathleen Matt.
Yeah, and then I was like, I was about to get to the punchline. I mean, just so shell shocked. Oh, like, what do you say to that?
Is this clip anywhere?
No, man, because they didn't air it.
Oh, God. I wish I could see this.
If they aired it, I mean, yeah, who knows if I'd still be doing stand-up.
Oh, it's so good.
So then Alonzo Bowden's like, hey, let him get out another joke. Like, he's got, you got some other stuff, man? And Ant's just like, what do you got? And Alonzo's like, yeah, you got any other stuff? So I'm like, yeah, so, and then I'm just scrambling, and I'm like, sure, I got these gay neighbors.
What, 5 years ago?
They're carpet cleaners. That's ironic because they're gay. And you're like, fuck, you're like, out,
I'll win back Kathleen Madigan, a lesbian, by going to my gay material. This will be perfect.
This will get her.
Dude, it was so crushing. Do you, wow, I mean, I literally walked out of that.
Yeah.
I walked out of that being like, I'm done. Like, that was, you know.
Was this 5 years ago?
No, that was, I was probably 3 to 4 years in. Wow. So not in enough to be like.
Because when you
completely crushed, but in it enough where it was where I'd had some good gigs. I think I was just starting to go around with Bobby, so enough of where you're like, oh cool, I think I'm supposed to be doing this.
Yeah, I can do this.
And then just a slam, and you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to be doing this.
And just so people know,
courtesy
when
of Kathleen Madigan.
Yeah, and when you're 3 or 4 years in, like now, you have different bits from out your entire career that you could have subbed in real quick, or if like if that joke didn't work, okay, we'll try this joke. Like when you're 3 or 4 years in, you have your act.
Yes, that 5 minutes 100%. Was supposed to last me another year or two.
Dude, it's like when you open for a guy when you're like 3 years in, he goes, you know, the headliner goes, hey, after the feature, go up there and do a few extra minutes. You're like, well, I don't have that. I had to do, I Darren Carter did that shit to me growing, like, I had to open for him one time in the feature, and I've talked to Darren about this, so it's not like talking at school, because, you know, like, I opened for Darren a bunch coming up. He always comes to the Bay Area, and this feature was murdering 1 week.
Yeah.
And Darren would always tell me to go up and do, like, by the end he was like, do you like, can't do like five? I'm like, dude, I can only talk about being Jewish for like, I have nothing else to talk about. And I was already bombing up front. I can't follow this guy. It's like, I talked to Darren, but like, do you remember doing that? He's like, nah, I don't think I was like, you knew exactly what you're doing, motherfucker. You never forget. Because I've done that to features now.
Yeah. And basically what you're telling that host to do is, hey, can you go bomb for like three to five minutes to, like,
and again, love Darren, not talking
bit.
Shit. It's an old headliner technique. We've all done it.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't really want to have to work that hard, so why don't you just reset that bar?
Right.
Jim Gaffigan had me do that once on a Comedy Juice show that I was hosting, which was Greg Giraldo, Jim Gaffigan, Daniel Tosh, Dan Cook. It was stacked,
sweet
right?
Jesus.
And somebody popped in who, oh, dude.
Kathleen Madigan.
Hilarious. No, it was Skylar Stone. Oh, and he did some experimental stuff.
Nice.
And it was a little weird.
Okay.
And I think at one point he was pouring water on the stage.
Sure.
Getting a little cuckoo. I was laughing. Some other people were laughing. Not everybody was. It was just one of those nights. So Jim looks at me, and I'm about to bring it up. He goes, hey, do you mind doing some time and bringing the energy back up? And again, I'm like, hot pocket, whatever.
Yeah,
and,
it's like, can I do your love jokes? Yeah.
By the way,
that'd be great.
I'm out.
No problem, Jim. I'm going to do a hot pocket bit.
I'm out of material.
Yeah.
Like, I'd done my 10 up front, and I had a couple other things in the tank. But I was so – you also put a show like Comedy Juice up on a pedestal where you're like – even my C material isn't juice worthy,
right?
At that point. So I get up there and I try to do a couple things and they both don't go well. And I'm just like, dude, do you try to dig up a third one or do you just get off on the kind of laugh? And I get up on the kind of laugh and I bring him up and I shake his hand. And he goes, well, you tried.
As he's shaking my hand.
What a dick.
And guess, by the way, well, you tried. I still laughed and did like a, all right, and patted his shoulder to make it seem like these guys are buddies, you know?
Yeah. But God.
How about this story with Jim Gaffigan in the same situation? I don't know if you guys know this, but I...
Wait, I don't have a Gaffigan story. I don't fit in.
All right. Dude, I'll go for about 5 minutes here and try to just jot down some notes and then come in with it. And we'll just edit out that part.
Okay, good.
Without a Gaffigan. Brad Williams story.
A man without a gaff. That'd be such a great sketch if like that happened and all of a sudden it goes to black and white. It's like, I didn't have a gaff.
I remember that.
I didn't know what to do. Then I discussed Brad just doing rails of coke in the bathroom. Like, whoa, that escalated fast.
It was 2016. Jim Gaffigan was still very popular. Brad Williams was just uninformed of what he was up to.
It's like one of those gridiron sports documentaries. It was 1945, Cleveland, Ohio. The sun was out, and the game had started. Cussing like a guy doing a goal line stand. Get over the middle!
Got it on the Gaffigan.
Yeah.
So what'd you do with
that? Before I shot my Comedy Central half hour specials, like 2010, I went to New York, you know, a day before to do, I had like three sets lined up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of them was at Broadway, one of them was at Gotham, and one of them was at like Caroline, something like that. So I go to Gotham and Jake Johansson's headlining and, Ian Arigotti, his agent at the time, was hanging back there and I'm talking with him and then Gaffin goes up and it gets really weird and he starts getting heckled and, a fight breaks out. Like Gaffigan charges off the stage and gets in a fist fight with a guy.
Jim Gaffigan.
You can look this up. This has been documented other places.
Still a dude.
You know, and his wife came up and said something to the guy, and then the guy said something. And all of a sudden, you just see Gaffigan go, "Stand up, coward!" And then you just hear the guy go, "Fuck you!" And he just charges off stage, and a fucking fight breaks out. And I'm talking a fight. Like Gaffigan's fighting like three dudes. Like you're like the fucking pizza guy, the guy he's talking about cake. Like you look at him, you're like, oh no, he's just a big fucking Midwesterner. Like he's a big guy.
He's
so this shit goes on and on, and 70 people go out. I mean, it's a fucking melee. And then you know, already the show was running a little late, so I was like, well, they're certainly not gonna have me go out. This is like 30 minutes later, the show gets going, and Ian looks at me and goes, "Hey, Jake, still like you to go up there and do your set." Like, what? After what?
No.
So I have to go up there. I'm like, yeah, of course he wants. He doesn't want to go on after that. So I get on stage. I thought I did as good as I could possibly do. The next day, Time Out New York writes an article that says about it online. They talk about this Jim Gaffigan fight. They go, after that, L.A. comedian Mo Mandel took the stage and attempted to win the crowd back with a joke about a man fucking a dog and a lion. Which was like a shitty bit I had been doing for like a week. And they just encapsulate my whole act into this hack fucking joke.
You're the lion dog fuck
guy. Oh, God. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. But see, when I hear that story, all I want to know is, what's the joke about the dog fucking the lion?
You want to hear it?
Kind of, yeah. Right.
Is it Wizard of Oz-esque?
No, it was...
Toto
was
finally gets
I think
revenge.
I was talking about... Like, yeah, I wish. That'd be a way more interesting concept.
I'll show you courage. Yeah.
Yeah. It was... isn't that what Wicked's about, by the way?
Courage? No. The Cowardly Lion?
Toto fucking Toto.
Have you ever seen a Broadway musical?
That was the original Wicked.
Dude, you should review Broadway musicals, but never have seen them. And you should...
Now we're talking about The Color Purple. I'm not a big Prince fan, and I didn't love the...
Isn't that about Grimace's jizz? The McDonald's mascot.
Well,
right, we'll
so confusing
right
if Grimace had purple jizz, because if he got it himself, you would never know.
You would never know.
West Side Story, but it takes place in New York.
Yeah.
How does that happen? There must be a child. I don't
anyway,
like time
a lot
travelers
of Mexicans in the movie. Yeah.
We'll be right back. All right, True TV, you listening?
There Hamilton.
There you go.
Just a long monologue about a guy on 20.
I got to say, Hamilton, have any of you guys seen it?
No, I want to.
I'm not. I will when it comes to
okay, I'm sure it's amazing. Everyone tells me it's amazing. Yeah. But if you hear the concept, it sounds like something that went to your junior high school like to educate. It's like, yeah, it's guys rapping about American history. You're like, well, that sounds like the worst thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
But they're good rappers.
Oh, I'm sure everyone's like, it's engaging from the second. Obviously, yeah. Like, I don't have to defend it. It made $1 billion. But could anything sound lamer than that?
No. Well, when you say it like that, no.
So it's the founding fathers, but they're rapping.
But they hip hopped it up, and it's really fucking fun.
What? So what is the first line of the? I'm Thomas Jefferson. I'm here to say,
and do not smoke cigarettes because they're gonna give you bad. Respect your teachers.
George Washington was cool, but don't take my word for it. For shizzle. What?
You're right.
For shizzle.
Oh my god.
You're right.
Yeah.
On the surface,
rapping president sounds terrible.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, but just think, in 200 years, someone's gonna make a musical called Trump.
Right.
Oh, fuck.
But that's what I always hate. I'm like, this motherfucker's gonna be taught to our kids. Like, yep. Even if he has if he has like a presidency that goes nowhere, like our kids will have to memorize his name at some point.
Yeah.
It's annoying to me.
Will they?
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
president.
Even if he's out in a year.
Dude, you know who fucking Andrew Garfield is, or some random ass,
the actor from Spider-Man?
Isn't there a president named Andrew Garfield? There is.
I mean, that, by the way, case in point of how
informed I'm pretty
I am
sure there's a president.
There's a Garfield. I don't know if his first name is
Andrew Garfield. Is a kid from Social Network.
Oh, yeah, the
Network
kid's got cool hair. Yeah, so you're going to have to know his name because he's got great hair.
Now, do you think they will say, look, this was the president, but this was the first lady? Like, how will they transition into
James
that?
Garfield.
James Garfield. Okay, I was close.
Andrew Garfield is the actor.
And wasn't there a famous cat?
No cat. You're way off on that.
So, Adam, you were right on that one.
Thank you.
Well done, sir.
Circle gets the square.
Yeah.
Do you think that this is good for comedy? I'm very curious that when people – I've actually gotten emails from people who just reach out to confide and be like, this sucks, right? Like, they just need somebody to go to look at them and nod and be like, yeah, what a fucking shitty, you know, like when you're outside and you see a car accident and you look at it and you catch eyes with a stranger and you guys look at each other and go, fuck, wow, right?
Yeah.
Like, people are just doing that. And then they're saying to me, which I almost feel like they want me to almost console them and say, like, yeah, this is great for comedy. Like, we're going to make a difference somehow. Like, I feel I'm having to respond to this, but I'm always like, I don't personally care about it for comedy purposes.
No.
And I think anybody who, look, there is still a job. Like, there's the shows. The Daily Show will probably be all this now for the next, I mean, right?
I mean, their ratings have been way up since the election.
Samantha Bee, I mean, it's just, you know, but...
The problem with it being for comedy is it's not like a new... Like, George W. Bush was great for comedy because it was like, no one knew who he was, and he was president, and he was dumb as fuck.
Yeah.
We've been making... People making Trump jokes for like 25 years.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's already old. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's
like...
It's not
funny.
No.
It's scary.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. It's and not we, dumb. He's like...
Bush,
like,
you were like, he comes from a line of presidents. And
yeah.
Political, he was in politics.
And he, at least when he was like saying something I didn't agree with, like he was anti-gay marriage, he would kind of come from like, it's in the Bible, and it's an old school... Trump's is like... I was going to say some fucking horrible shit about people. And you're like, no.
Bush
Jesus
had somewhat
Christ.
Of a, not calming presence, but like a...
The guy you wanted to have a beer with.
Cadence, he seemed very American. It was like if I'm like watching an old Western.
And by the way, the fact that we're even going back now and being like, Bush wasn't that bad. Yeah, right. You know how bad it is.
No, that's a good point because it's so true. Yeah. And like, you were like, it can't get
Bush.
Worse than that.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Well, and the thing is that when people say like, oh, you must be excited about Trump because it's good for comedy. I'm like, well, there were Obama jokes.
Yeah.
Like, there were Clinton jokes and things were going really well. It doesn't have
gonna
to be
jokes
a disaster.
There would have been Hillary jokes.
Yeah, you can always make fun of the president. I think SNL did a great job during the debates of kind of getting both sides. They got Hillary on the fact that she was trying to appeal to anyone and everyone all the time.
And that's fine. I would have loved if that was what they continued to do. Because that's funny and harmless.
Sure.
And guess what? Eventually, she probably just would have, I don't know, like, gone into the inner cities and fucking... played some dice and been like, look, I'm cool. And then you're like, well, no, you overcompensate.
Right.
Too far.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it's just weird for me. What I always find so suspect about anyone in politics is they're so, both those people, Trump and Hillary, are so clearly so fucking ambitious. And there's no way that level of ambition comes from an altruistic place. It just doesn't. Like, that's just not how people operate. It's like they're fucking clearly need to be president for some deep thing inside her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't understand it, and I don't think it's healthy. I don't think you can want that and be healthy. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
Anyone I know who's that ambitious is generally not
healthy.
I
forget who said it, but someone said that the unfortunate thing about being president is that the ego necessary to become president is not good for the president
to want to do that.
Yeah.
Like,
because if you said right now, Brad, you get the keys to the kingdom, you could be president tomorrow. I'd be like,
No.
Wait, how much time would I have to watch Saved by the Bell reruns?
Right.
Not that often?
I really feel, and I'm sure this has been said before, but I really feel bad for Melania Trump, because I'm sure she's like...
Melania.
Melania is like, I didn't want to do this. I don't want to pick like a fucking charity that I got to be involved in now.
I forget what comic said it. One of the comics that actually opened up for me last week said it, where he's like, she's pissed because it's like, I was a gold digger.
Yeah.
The whole thing of a gold digger was to get hooked up with an old rich guy with money, and then you do nothing.
Yeah.
And now you're the first lady of the United States.
I know.
Like, no gold digger's plan ever went more awry than Melania Trump's.
But, like, I can't... Yeah, no, totally. I mean, it's like, it's definitely not... And now it's like, she's like, what? What if I want to get, like, fake tits next year?
Yeah. Right?
Like, I can't judge by all this shit.
Sorry.
You know?
I can't just go shopping anymore because I got 20 Secret Service agents with me?
Yeah, what if I... You know what would be great, though, is if she's just like... If she just divorces him.
Oh, that'd be mid-presidency?
You know, like, yeah, like if
why would she do that?
Well, she didn't want this shit. And then she just takes a lot of his money and just like, fuck it. I have no idea why.
I don't think they really want to. I mean, the fact that he doesn't want to live in the White House. You know that? He wants to kick it at Trump Tower and like go to the White House on weekends and shit.
That was like an old Patrice O'Neill bit.
Was it?
Where he was like, why does every president have to live in that same house? Like, why can't Obama be like, I'm going to kick it at my condo in Chicago?
Well, guess what? Trump must have loved that bit. Because
clearly Trump was a Patrice fan. I think we saw that coming a long time ago.
Never.
I mean, I don't know, dude. The only thing that like, what I rest assured with Trump is like, I don't think this dude believes in fucking anything. Like, and that actually makes me more comforting than a guy like Pence.
More
like,
comforting, but also more terrifying because now he's reaching out for all these guys and like Pence and Paul Ryan and Newt fucking Gingrich. You can't have that name and be in politics. You're either fucking, you're like a professional bird feeder or you're like, you're a guy who makes Newt. Dildos in the middle of, you know, Des Moines. Sell them to like old guys and
sounds
in
like Newt Gingrich to me always seemed like he was like one step early on in his life away from being like a televangelist.
Yeah.
And then you're like, how did you end up? Oh, you're on TV still talking about conservative shit, but it could have been like in a mega church, but then you ended up in CNN or something like that.
These guys are all peppering in and flying in with their little like, hey man, we got you, buddy. You don't know what's going on? Dude. Just stick with us. We got you. Shock the gays, dude. Come on. Yeah. Not with like, you know, weird porn. But like shock them literally and ungay them. And then look, it's nobody knows what's going to happen.
Everyone knows the way you cure gayness is just with pictures of Kate Upton. Everyone knows that.
That it's
science. It's
Brad Williams.
Science,
Brad Williams 2020.
You know what? You say crazy, but as we've just seen.
What's so great is like there used to be a time where if you said that and then you did want to run for president, you'd be like, well, fuck, I said that thing. That's going to come back. Now it's like, does anything anyone says ever matter? No. Like, I kind of like that. I kind of like the fact that like Daniel Tosh could now become president. So I'm like, what about that joke with that? Remember that thing? They'd be like, no, it's not as bad as that other dude said.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it doesn't matter what anybody says.
Well, what do you think when you see things like people saying like The Rock is going to run for president? Like he's
totally can win. 100%. I think Oprah would have dominated if she'd have run this year.
Why didn't Oprah? Some of these people had to have.
Because they don't want to do it.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
It's a lot of work, man.
I mean, goddamn, is it a lot of work. You see them, they're like, he was in Ohio today. He was in this and that. It's like.
Yeah, The Rock is like, wait a minute. So I just made $150 million last year.
Yeah.
I could just do nothing or like just make movies and go to fun parties, or I could be the president of the United States. I'll just be a celebrity.
No, why would you even want to do it? Like, I'm in show business and I wouldn't even want to be famous like Tom Cruise. Like, not that that's really on the horizon right now, but like
negative reinforcement on CISO is really good.
I know. I mean, it can really go viral. You never know. But it's like, even that level of ambition, I'm like, that I wouldn't even want my career to affect my life to that degree.
You
want to
be rich, not famous.
Yeah, I don't want to be famous to that where it's like, I can't go out anywhere. And if you're president, it's like, you literally can't go anywhere without fucking security ready. It sounds horrible. Yeah. You know, what if you want to grab some pussy?
That's crazy. Our president said that.
I know.
If
there was a YouTube video of me saying that going around, and I'm like, I just went on this Match.com date before I went over here, and she's like, oh, watch some of your videos on YouTube. I'm like, fuck, what did I say? Like, how horrible of a person am I? And I don't even have a clip as bad as something that our president said.
So That's
a great point.
I heard a radio show guy, a radio show talk show say this. They said, in that video, the one making the comments is president of the United States. The one just kind of smiling and going along with it got fired from his job.
It's amazing.
The other one was elected president.
It's incredible. I love the fact that just the injustice of this world. I love that Trump got, you know, the president of NBC who, like, you know, Trump would say he was going to sue and all this shit after he dropped him from The Apprentice and all that.
Right.
That guy's the president of NBC. Trump is now the president of fucking America. Like, all these people must be like, what the fuck? How did that happen?
Yeah.
You know?
Like, and anyone who's ever wronged him ever is like, wait, so the guy that I... that said he was going to kill me, and I kind of laughed about it. Now has the finger on the button.
Yeah, no, it's not good.
Well, the good news is we're all going to be dead
in probably 6 years.
The good news. Well, guess what? In Trump America, you still can listen to Negative Reinforcement and watch. More importantly, on CISO.
Mm-hmm. And even more importantly, buy a T-shirt on my website,
mobile.com,
and then wear it while you watch. And then
that is the ultimate way to enjoy it.
It really is. No pants.
Not in Trump's America.
No, sir.
All right. November 3rd. It's already past that, so it's out. All your tour dates on MoMandel.com?
Yeah, MoMandel.com, at MoMandel on Twitter, The Real MoMandel on Facebook.
Are you tweeting?
Wait, no, I'm sorry, Instagram. Whatever.
Are you tweeting a lot?
I'm doing some tweeting, Adam. Wait. I want to go tell, don't get too personal, but I'm doing some tweeting, yeah.
I want to hear what happened on this match date later, so I will follow you on Twitter.
Okay, good.
You won't post about your love life, do you?
No. Thank you for assuming I just fell in love on my match date.
Hey, man, I guess I'm projecting my own single tendencies.
You are really
you met someone, looked her in the eye, and fell in love, right?
Dude, That's how it works. But this is the problem. So I'm so desperate to like be in love and like to get married and all that now that I'm like, I'm doing that game with myself where I see someone's profile and like read them like, dude, this is gonna be the one. And you have like one good coffee, you're like, yeah, that's it. And then you're like I was literally convincing myself
of
like falling in love with some girl recently, and then like I started like, let me just look at that night we spent together from like an outsider's perspective. I'm like, yeah, probably my future wife's not gonna be doing coke in the bathroom.
well, not with that attitude.
But maybe she is. Good night, everybody.
You never know.
Thanks, Mo.
So that's the show.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessime Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.